Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Every morning, Taryn Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CEO to HOA. Every single season, you know he is the reason, you know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it, tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello everyone and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for August 7th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Liana on a Saturday. How you doing, Liana?
I am good. I feel like I'm still living in this dream world because I get to watch so many amazing people on the feeds, and I never thought it would happen. Still doesn't feel real. Doesn't feel tangible or Tangela. I'm just so happy to be here. I'm so excited to talk about all of the amazingness that went down on the feeds yesterday.
There was a lot. There's a lot to talk about today. Yesterday was a 2-hour update. I think that might have taken the record. And I feel like there's even more to talk about today, but we will try to keep it succinct this time. We are here to talk about everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. It was day 3 in the house, and things are still shifting all over the place. The game is so interesting from the very beginning. It's constantly shifting. It's constantly changing. Things are slowly coming together. And you know, I feel like where everything was yesterday, completely different today. It'll probably be completely different tomorrow, but let's get into it all, as we go here. So, I ended the last update with a little bit of a preview for today, and that was Day and Bay, as they are being referred to. They were talking to themselves, to each other, about how they feel good about Cody, and that they are going to make an alliance that they're calling Black Girl Magic. That they have, Day in particular, has felt a little bit unsure about David, but Bailey thinks that, well, let's just talk to him. Let's try and pull him in, because they would like to work with David as well. And so this is something that is solidifying here. This is something I think will probably have, you know, long lasting impacts in the game. I think these two will stick together.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they also talk about, look, we're going to be perceived as a pair no matter what. That's just going to happen. So we have to be really cautious about this. So it's something that they're keeping in mind. I think that that's good. Of course, it's always easier said than done. But something else that I didn't actually notice throughout the rest of the day is them talking to David. Now, to be fair, I rarely saw David on the feed, so it could have happened without my knowledge. But they're actually going to then have to do a little bit more work to grab David if they want to make that a threesome.
Yes, I agree. David has been pretty quiet. I did not see this conversation end up happening. I think they probably either are just taking it slow still with David, or we missed some of it. But I do not think that they have actively tried to pull him in yet. And I honestly, like, as much as I want to see them work a little more. I do think they have to be a little bit wary of David. I think that they can work with him to an extent, but I think he's dangerous. I think his loyalties will be fluid, and I think that he can bring them some very valuable information that they very much need, as we'll talk about later in the day. But I think he might be more loyal to the guy side of things than their side of things.
Sure. Your guess is as good as mine, because like I said, I didn't really see David on the feats all that much, except for playing charades and having a few other conversations that were totally not game related. So, yeah, I mean, definitely from what we've seen initially, David seems to be roped in a little bit more with that whole sort of, I don't want to say guy alliance because it's not all the guys, but with Cody and Tyler and sort of that group. And so that's definitely people that he could gravitate towards over Bay and Day.
Yes. David's already being compared to Chicken George in the house. So
that was so fantastic. Like the comparison of David to Chicken George, I could not believe.
And like when people were upset about David being on the season, I literally said, hold on, guys, there was a guy called Chicken George in the first All-Star season. You can't be too upset that David's on here. And look, I think he clears that bar. Right.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, when Janelle is saying that, like, oh, you're like Chicken George, I don't know. Is that a compliment or is that a read? Honestly, I'm not quite sure.
So Danny is going to talk to Day, and Day is still trying, I think, to work with Danny. We mentioned this yesterday that Davon said to the cameras, hey, guys, I'm trying. I know you guys want this. And I was like, no, Day, no. don't do it just because the audience wants it, because it's a bad idea. And that bad idea has solidified over the course of the day yesterday. Danny talks with Day, and Day is going to mention something that she has mentioned a couple of times with a couple of other people. She's worried about the guys forming something, but she's going to get even more specific with Day, Danny, and say that Tyler, Cody and Enzo in particular are people that she's keeping an eye on, which, you know, is fair. A lot of people are saying that, but unfortunately for Day, this is the first time Danny is hearing it. And Danny had a good conversation with Cody the previous day and is going to have some more good conversations with Cody. And this is going to be bad news for Day.
Yeah, so I thought it was the Dan missed, might be the Danny missed, because I think a lot of information is going to Danny that shouldn't be for the purposes of the people who are revealing that knowledge. So, for example, here you have Day just saying, like, these are all my suspicions, these are all my thoughts, just very much laying it out in the open. I don't think that she's trying to play Danny by any means. And because Danny is now becoming closer and closer to Cody, and that continues to solidify over the course of today, that could really be bad for her. I mean, the fact that later on, not to jump too far ahead, but Danny does go to Cody and be like, hey, look, she's nervous about, and by she, I mean, Day, there is a guys alliance and you have to be careful talking too much with Tyler or talking too much with David. And so that information is getting back to Cody.
Yes. You know, I talked a lot about Cody and his HOH reign yesterday and how he's playing a little too slow and he does not have an infrastructure yet to be able to be making decisions and knowing what he needs to do. Being able to pick up Danny and getting her loyalty has been crucial already. Danny is the key ingredient that is really helping Cody up his game. She is bringing him very valuable information. She has her claws in some very valuable pieces on the board, and Danny is definitely the thing that can make this group work.
Absolutely. I think because part of it, and from a couple other people in the house, I've seen the read of like, oh, that group's too small. But that doesn't really matter if they're getting all of this information about where the other puzzle pieces are, because then they can play around those people. So even though they may not have bomb squad level numbers, that doesn't matter if they can know how to play other groups against one another.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Again, the evolution of Danny's game from season 8, where it was just like kind of, you know, comp queen underdog slash being helped by America. Season 13, turning against her dominant alliance and then getting shafted. And now in this season, it's Danny the rat floater. That's what we've got so far. Very interesting. I'm very curious to see what it does to her popularity, though.
Yeah, I mean, that was the whole thing of like Danny coming after your fave since what, like 2009 or whatever. So I think it's very interesting because this, we always talk about this, Big Brother is a marathon, not a sprint. And that rat floater game is very difficult to maintain over the course of 85 days. So I'm just waiting with bated breath to see what happens. But for the moment, at least, Danny definitely seems to be a confidant for a lot of people in the house.
Mm-hmm. So Cody is going to talk with Enzo and really solidify their bond, their alliance. They're talking about final twos. And they mentioned specifically that Danny and Franzel are a good other pair to bring in. And so there's a core four that seems to be forming, between Tyler, Enzo, Danny, and Franzel, with, again, and this is basically what Cody talked about with Danny the previous day, which is that they also think that they can pull in Tyler and perhaps Menzo.
Oh, that's their couple name. That's so cute. Menzo. Yeah.
Memphis. Tyler and Memphis. And with probably like a little bit of David on the side somewhere along the line. And so that's the core four. Plus some extras. Cody likes Tyler. He wants Tyler on board because he knows that, like, he's like, Tyler's loyal to his people. He's dangerous, but if he's with us, that'll work in our favor. So Cody, I think, feels very much like Tyler is this like dangerous thing, right? Like Tyler is this very dangerous piece on the board, but if Tyler's on his side, then he can feel okay about it. He can keep it under watch. He can be his dangerous thing. But this is, again, it's a very uneasy kind of alliance. And it will be very interesting if it lasts for a while.
It's the title of Tyler's memoir, Tyler Crispin, Dangerous Thing. Mm. I think that, you know, Cody gives himself a lot of credit. And thinks very highly of his Big Brother knowledge. And that definitely comes across in a lot of the conversations he has with people. And so when Cody is making a judgment of how he thinks other people behave, you know, he then sort of firmly believes that suspicion and runs with it. And so that's sort of, I think, what's happening here with Tyler is just he has this feeling about how Tyler plays, who Tyler is as a person, and then is going to fit that into his puzzle, not really thinking, oh, okay, but Tyler is a dangerous player. So when we get later on down the game, what does that mean? I don't know. He could be thinking about it, but at least at the moment, I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I'm curious to see it because I think that Cody could pull it off potentially, but the thing about dangerous players is that they are dangerous, and Tyler does have a few secret weapons, you know, in his pockets already. And so you know, it'll be interesting to see for sure. This is where the real game is going on right now. Later in the night, we're gonna see a fantasy game being played out. I just like, it's at the end of the day, I just can't get over it, guys. I'm just gobsmacked. All right, so Day is gonna check in with Janelle. She's gonna check in with Christmas, just, you know, conversations. They feel good about each other. Nothing too major, but Day is continuing to maintain some pretty good relationships all around. Similar kind of some conversations that she had with Danny. She in particular, I do think, feels pretty good about Christmas. I think she would like to do something with Janelle, but she's been a little skeptical and Janelle is a little skeptical. And I think that that's going to deteriorate a little bit more throughout the day. Christmas, after talking today, says to herself, I've got Tyler, Day, Cole, Franzel, She didn't say Franzl, but I knew which Nicole she was talking about. And she talks about some of the guys that she doesn't have a connection to. And I think in particular, she was thinking like Memphis. And then later in the day, I saw her working on Memphis. So, you know, keep an eye on Christmas as well. I think that she's using her reputation to good effect, and she's getting some really close bonds with some people, and it could work out in her favor. Again, I think that the main thing is that she needs to be able to win respect and be seen as a dangerous player, but for now, it's working in her favor that she's not really seen as a dangerous player.
I haven't heard anyone bring her name up in a negative way at all for anything, even like, oh, she's a challenge competitor, which makes her scary or threatening. No, it's like, oh, she's a good competitor, so we would want to work with her. And I think another thing too is to keep an eye on who's not on feeds, because everybody's playing a little hard, which I love, don't get me wrong, but I do have a feeling like those that are a little bit more like, let me just work on my social bonds, they're gonna make it a little bit further potentially.
Yeah, well, because I think Christmas is playing hard because she's actively trying to make strategic connections in the right places, and she has a decent idea of where some of the pieces are versus some other people that, like, you might think on the surface are playing hard, but really they're like blindfolded, kind of just like, what's this? And I think they're not playing hard enough because they do not know what they're doing.
Okay, Webster's Dictionary defines playing hard as, you know what I mean.
I am on a crusade this season because I think that these veteran players are being weighed down by this like concept of playing too hard too fast, and it's screwing them up. And I think we need to redefine what we mean by playing hard, because what we really mean is playing messy, and I think that the best way, the way that you play messy the most is by not playing hard enough, that you are playing a little bit hard but you're not committing to it, and it just gets super messy, and that's what looks like the hardest of gameplay.
Okay, well, we'll work on that. We'll get Peridium to make a video at the end, playing messy versus playing hard, right? Coaster versus floater.
I'll do an off-season podcast.
There we go. We'll sort it out.
So Enzo is going to talk with Danny about their potential four with Cody and Franzl. And they talk again about Tyler and Memphis. Again, this is continuing to solidify a little bit here. And it's going to be very valuable for Cody and for them, to be able to kind of get Danny in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, again, I think a lot of things are really fluid, but at least that group seems relatively solid so far. Again, only day three, but so far seems pretty solid.
Mm-hmm. So Kevin is going to talk with Ian a little bit. He's going to do this a couple times throughout the day, that he mentions, like, hey, we're not athletes. Nicole A, we're like the non-athletes here. Kevin is really trying to start like an offbeat alliance. He's later going to say it again to the three of them. Franzl is even there in the bathroom the second time that it's talked about, and she's like, "Yeah, I'm quirky too. I'm with you guys." And he mentions like the Adorkables as a name for them, and then mentions it again a third time without Franzl there again. And talks about the Adorkables, he made it even more convoluted after like the Adorkables. I can't remember now.
Yeah, I would stick with Adorkables. Like, that's cute, succinct enough to get the point across. Yeah, Kevin's like, I came into the house, there were no defined clicks. What do? I'll make a click.
Awkwardorkables.
Aquadorkables, yes, there we go, which just sounds like they're going on some sort of underwater expedition.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, look, Kevin is definitely feels like he's in danger and is trying to make something. And so going off of the Aquadorkables, that's his play. And, you know, like, good on him for trying to make something.
Yes. The problem here though is that it doesn't really land super well with anyone but Franzl, which I don't think he intended to be included into this group.
No, it was definitely supposed to be Nicole A and Ian. And then Franzl's there like, hey, yeah, me too. I'm quirky.
Mm-hmm. Danny is going to talk with Cody. This is what we're talking about. She's going to warn him about Day. Watch out. Day is worried about the guys forming a thing. That's just a brief conversation, though. She's going to have a longer one later where she warns him about more things, but she hasn't learned them yet because we haven't gotten there yet. Kevin talks with Cody. Kevin is worried. He's had trouble connecting. Cody says, you've done nothing wrong, but like, there's a very clear vibe here that like, you know, you might go on the block, but don't, you know, you didn't do anything wrong. It's not your fault. Don't feel bad.
Yeah, this was really interesting because this kind of came out of nowhere. Like all of a sudden we just cut to the storage room and Kevin's in there having a conversation with Cody. But we learned from Christmas, Kevin came out of the DR like feeling emotional. And I don't know what happened in there, but then he goes to Cody and talks to him about, you know, everything that you just said, Taryn. So I thought that was particularly interesting, which then causes Cody to go up into the HOH room, head in his hands, just either feeling remorseful or emotional or something about this whole conversation, knowing that he's going to put up Kevin later in the day.
Mm-hmm. I think he is regretting it to an extent, but he doesn't really have another option. He doesn't have a lot of time to like figure out another person to put up. And for whatever reason, he really feels like this is the right combination of people. I'm still not completely solid on that as a choice, but it's the way he's going for now. Kacer is going to talk with Bailey. They chat and bond for a while. She tells him the story of like Swaggy and her relationship with him. Kacer is basically just always talking with somebody and like finding out their life story and like, you know, having deep conversations. At the end of it, Kacer says, I can trust you, right? Tyler, Cody, David, working together. Watch out.
Don't tell anyone, not even Day. This is between us.
And Bailey's like, interesting. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I was like, what is going on? Also, look, I love Kacer, but he does sometimes have a tendency to be a little condescending when he speaks to people. And this particular conversation was one time where I did notice that. And I was like, if I'm Bay and I do understand, like I do empathize with her quite a bit. So I was like, I would not be happy about some of the ways that he's talking to me right now, essentially because he was also saying you have to behave this certain way, like don't do this, do this. And that was just very interesting to me. Kacer is trying, but I don't know how well it's being received.
It's interesting because so Kacer has another conversation with Keisha, which plays out in a somewhat similar fashion. He asks her how she is with Memphis. She says, you know, we're okay. We haven't like talked in forever. We haven't solidified anything. He's like, you need to lock that down. Like we need Memphis. And she's like, oh, okay. And like, he does, he tells her like, this is what you need to be doing. This is what you need to be. You need to go to Memphis. You need to do this. You need to act this way. Keisha is like eating it up. Like Keisha's definitely, I'm on board, Kacer. He's like, we need you here. We need to keep you. And here's the thing. Kacer's reads are impeccable. Ridiculously so. Like, I'm listening to Kacer talk about what's happening in the game, and I'm like, is he reading my tweets? Is he getting fed information? Like, where does he get this? How did he know? Like, this is ridiculous. The reads are so good that it's completely making other people in this house later in this day go crazy with random conspiracy theories. It's ridiculous. He's like, okay, so here's what I'm thinking. I think Cody is trying to build an alliance around him. I'm thinking something like, Tyler, Enzo, you know, Franzel, maybe Danny. And you know, I think that you're going on the block. I saw Kevin earlier looking kind of upset, which makes me think that Kevin's going to go on the block with you. Cody probably talked to him about it, probably offered him a role as a pawn, maybe made a deal with him. And that means that you're the target. The fact that Memphis is not going on the block up next to you probably means that they're wanting to get you out of the game so that they can pull Memphis in a little bit later into their alliance. So we need to make sure that we keep you around. It's just like,
I was convinced he snuck a phone in there prison style and right. is like watching feeds. Because I was like, how do you know this? I mean, yes, okay, sure, he's got context clues, he can sort of put it together, but No. Like, I think this is beyond that. I was blown away. It was very, very impressive.
It's ridiculous. Like, he is, like, Cody hasn't even done some of these things yet. I don't think Cody had even thought of doing some of these things yet. And then, like, of course, shortly afterwards, he is doing them.
That is okay. That is a little bit part of a problem, is that Kaser does put a little bit too much faith that Cody is smarter. And so thinking like, oh, okay. And this comes to light a little bit later in the day, but where it's like, oh, this is the plan. This is definitely the plan. That should be Cody's plan. Cody just hasn't quite gotten there yet. So Kaser's like doing a read a little bit ahead of the time. So a little fortune telly, but still, like, we'll get there. It'll match up eventually.
Like, Cody's end game is what Kaser thinks is like happening right now. And which is part of why I think Cody needs to pick up the pace, because Kaser is on to you. It's remarkable at times. Cody and Kaser do have some long conversations. They talk about the safety competition, and you know, Cody doesn't blame Kaser, and then they talk for a long time and bond about Cody's life story, and Kaser offers some business advice and stuff like that.
The business conversation was so funny, because it started off, I was like, oh, that's like kind of cool. And then once Kaser actually, now, okay, I know nothing about business, okay, but the conversation did sound like the fake business conversation from his intro package. He was like, yep, no, you don't want to be the pitch guy, you got to get the DevOps. I was like, are you faking business right now, or is this real? I mean, this is no R squared value, but still.
Like, you can tell that, like, Kaser is in this, he kind of feels this way. Like, when you say Kaser sounds condescending sometimes, like, it is very much like the intro package that he had. Like, and I think I said it when I was watching the premiere. I was like, he's such an executive. Like, yes. He just speaks in that, like, that business tone a lot of, like, don't even question that I don't know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Because I know what I'm talking about.
I mean, as a biotech exec for startup companies, you, one, have to go full tilt, which is why I think he plays Big Brother full tilt. And you have to speak with that confidence that just, you are right no matter what, because otherwise, if you question that, that's going to be a problem. So you can't, don't even bother, just straight on forward. So yeah, yes. I get that.
Yes. And like, but like it, buzzwords and like big words that make you sound smart, like the business, like BS, not stuff. Like Kaser, I fully believe that Kaser has the knowledge to back it up. As I said, he has great reads. But like he definitely also has, like, I think incorporated a little bit of that like business speak. And I don't think that's great for a social game.
That, and some of it too, is he's going to use acronyms and jargon and things like that, because it makes him, you know, like that's what how you have to talk, because you have to come across as like, oh, I seem smart. It happens in science too. Like, you have to use the jargon and be able to speak in a certain way that just conveys intelligence, even though it's not necessarily the most effective form of communication. So when he's talking to Cody about this is what you have to do for business, I was like, how much percentage do I think Cody actually understands what's being told to him? Because again, it was like, I'm not trying to actively convey information to you. It's like, I'm giving you advice. Like, I'm being businessy because I'm a businessman. It was hilarious to me. I loved that whole interaction.
It reminds me of when I was hired for my first job. I was an editor and I was hired as a video producer, meaning I had no idea how to work a camera. So I Googled some stuff and then was just like, yeah, you know, you adjust the aperture and focal length,
depth of field.
Fooled me.
So I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, good.
So Cody is going to end up nominating Kevin and Keisha. I believe they talked to there's some sort of new mechanism for nominations. I don't know if it's like exactly the key wheel, but it's something weird.
Well, so they did talk about the pictures popping up on screen. Ian, I think, was talking about how this was more stressful than the key wheel because the HOH says something and then there's like a minute delay or something like that. So I don't know if it's the same thing with the key turns or another mechanism, but definitely when Cody walked into the HOH room, we got a little bit of a feeds leak where he was like, oh, like S or something. So I don't know. That could be related to that. I guess we'll find out in the show.
I just like my biggest because look, people have always been like, bring back the key wheel, bring back the key wheel. I'm not super attached to the key wheel. It was fine, but it can sometimes take a while, especially if you already know what the nominations are. So like my biggest thing was I always just hated my first nominee is. My second nominee is. It's just like what this does not flow well at all to me. So hopefully they fixed that because that's my biggest problem.
Victims, aren't we all? Doesn't matter how we do it. Look, the reason why I think I like the key wheel so much is because you have the order that people get put in. And that to me is interesting. But yes, apart from that, in terms of a TV dynamic, obviously when you are doing the run through of the flow of the TV show, then you got to do the quick cuts to, I don't know. Sorry. That was my attempt to be professional in the film and TV world.
I would just like my preferred method for the HOH nominations would be double eviction style. Just have them stand up and be like, Liana, Puya. Go sit on the couch. I'm nominating you. Yes, gonna make them say the names.
Oh, that's a good point. Because if they don't have to, even if it's the key turn thing, it just pops up. Because if you just say someone's name, it's a little bit more like accusatory. I like
that.
How dare you nominate us? By the way, I know that this is fake, but still.
I realized after I said your name that I needed two, and I was like, oh, Puya's right there.
That is true. He is.
Look, you're a power couple. Big threat in this game.
Going after a power couple seems to be a thing. So, yeah, I get it.
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. So after the nominations, Cody is going to briefly talk to Franzel. This is a funny conversation. Franzel is like, Cody's like, man, I don't know if I don't want to. I feel like I didn't even want to nominate Kevin. I like him so much. And Franzel's just like, yeah. I'm worried about Enzo. Do you think Enzo is like? Do you think he doesn't trust me? I feel like he doesn't like me. And Cody's like, doesn't matter. He's fine. Don't worry about it. She's like, do you think he doesn't like me because I'm a winner? He's like, I'm trying to talk about something else right now. There's a bunch of people that are about to come in. Like, Enzo, I'm telling you, he loves me. If I tell him you're cool, like, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Not only was this conversation unnecessary at this point in time, but way to go, Franzel, for not wanting to work or not seeming like you're working with Cody, whereas immediately after nominations, going on up there, camping out and wanting to talk to him. Like, smart decision.
So Cody does warn Franzel that Janelle has been running around kind of talking about her, saying that she's sketchy, saying that she's pretending to be nervous when she's not really nervous, and stuff like that. So Franzel is going to continue to be like, oh no, Janelle, no.
you guys. No,
Janelle. So Cody talks to both Kevin and Keisha. He tells Kevin, I don't want you gone. I like you. Kevin is like, I like you. Like, I really want to make this happen. Like, I really want to work with you. And we can do this and it can be low key and it can be great. Cody talks to Keisha and says, look, I don't have a preference at all. Either one of you, it's fine. I don't want to look. I did the hard part. I put people up. I'm not going to make any other hard choices. And she's like, is that real? And he's like, absolutely. I don't care at all. And then they talk for like an hour afterward, just like chit chatting. And, you know, like Keisha basically like stayed in there until the conversation stopped being awkward. And they like, okay, now we're in a good rhythm. Now we're talking, we're laughing. All right. Now I feel a little bit better about it.
So this was interesting to me for two reasons. So first, the fact that Cody did exactly the opposite of what many first HOHs do, which was instead of saying this was the house decision, he was like, no, this was my decision. I put you two up, which I thought was really interesting because he said essentially, oh yeah, I had all these conversations with people and nobody would say a name. Nobody would say a name. So I made the decision and put you up there, which I thought was interesting. We'll see what happens with that. If that ever comes back in any regards, like
nobody
bite him in the
believes
butt.
It.
Boy, I know. Right. Which is weird because why would you just pretend? Like, I don't know. I like don't get the logic there.
Exactly. It's like, because here's the thing, it's kind of true. Like,
yeah,
he talked options with Franzel, but these names completely came from him. But nobody believes that he would do that because that's kind of weird.
Yes, because it is weird because you're the first HOH. Like, grab that thermometer, just shove it up people's butts, take their temperatures. You know what right? I mean? Like, but he didn't do that. He talked game with like a handful of people. And really, yeah, it was what, like Danny that he talked to, Franzel that he talked to, a little bit about who he was going to nom. So bizarre. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah. My God, Cody, like, I'm just so, we talked about him in the preseason, Karen, and I'm like, how dare I say anything nice about Cody? I mean, I'm just kidding, but like, still, come on, get it together, bro.
I mean, he's still in a pretty good position moving True. Forward. It's just like, there are just like some basics that like he's missing.
Yes, it's like basics and missed opportunities.
Yes.
That's what I'm noticing.
Yeah, yeah. Because like, and again, we talked about this yesterday, but like, the position he's in, the relationships he has, the amazing social game he has, he should be the completely deadly force in this game that Kacer thinks he is.
Exactly, which is why when Kacer's like, oh, yeah, this has to be his plan. I mean, it just has to be like that's what someone smart and logical would do. And you got Cody like up there, just like sort of there. Yeah, maybe. Maybe he'll get there. I don't know.
I think he'll be fine, especially now that he's got Danny on board feeding him information. Like, I think they'll be fine. I think they could be better, though, is the thing.
Right.
So Danny is going to talk with Janelle after talking to Franzel. So Franzel talks to Danny. She's like, I'm worried about Janelle. Can you like feel her out? And Danny's talking about like Devon, and she's like, yeah, but Janelle, like, I'm worried. Like, do you trust Janelle? He says, of course I don't trust Janelle. Door flies open. They're standing right in front of it. And in walks Janelle.
The bright, giant yellow star with flashing lights just pops in. And they're standing right by the door, too. It was beautiful.
And, like, the force with which she opened this door was, like it was like we're back in All-Stars and the pantry door is being flung open again. Like it's like she knew, but I don't think she heard.
No, unfortunately, although they have been suspicious of that door, like not closing all the way. But no, you can tell because there's not, if she was hearing ahead, like I don't think she would then thrust the door open with such reckless abandon. Like she just forced herself in there. But that was and then of course they try to, we were just talking about you, how you guys have to talk. Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, you know, it's about as good as they can do, I guess. Danny talks to Janelle and this was not a great conversation for Janelle. This was a lot of Janelle kind of like giving and a lot of Danny like, oh, yes, I'm totally with you. I just don't know anything. I just feel so left out of the loop. Thank you so much for including me in your conversation and letting me know these things because I'm just like getting nothing from anybody. Cody, he seems trustworthy, right?
This was so painful to watch because Danny's like, oh, really? Oh, wait, what did he say? Just gather, get out there, get your basket and like pick up all those little tidbits of information because that's what Danny was doing here. And this is why I'm talking about the Danny mist, because she and I don't know if it's because of what happened with the pre-gaming, but I think Janelle is not as suspicious as she should be of Danny.
Very much so. Danny did a great job. Danny did not say, Janelle, I like you. She did not say that. That's the telltale sign. Janelle should have realized that Danny doesn't like her because she didn't say that. Janelle does let Danny know, like, yeah, I think Franzel is like working with Cody, which is weird because like Janelle knows. Janelle talked today about how, like, oh, Franzel is actually like pretty close to Danny. Like that's a pretty under the radar relationship for a lot of people in the house. But Janelle knows about it, and she said this anyway.
I know, like there are signs in front of your face. You should pay attention to those. I think it's just a blind spot, and that could come back to bite her in the butt.
Yep. And so, you know, Danny was talking about like, if I was in Cody's position, I wouldn't know what to do either. Like, I think he's just, you know, just kind of throwing out random names. And so Janelle was like, what would you do? And she's like, I really don't know. Like, what would you do, Janelle? And Janelle's like, I'd go after threats. Oh, threat? Like who? I don't know. I would have, you know, threats. That's like, Janelle.
Like I just wanted to reach through my computer screen and just put like my mouth or my hand over her mouth, just be like, stop talking, please, please stop talking. But credit where credit is due to Danny, you know what I mean, for making her feel comfortable and making her feel like, oh, Janelle, you can open up to me, yeah, no problem, you know.
So Danny is going to run this information to Cody, giving him the heads up, like, watch out. People think that you're working with Franzel. They think that you've got emphis again.
Oh, no. What was it? No.
Menzo is the other
Menzo?
One.
Now, yes,
I did
Menzo
and now I did emphis. I don't know why I'm linking their names together. Enzo, Memphis and Tyler, they think you're working with. So watch out.
Oh my
out
God. I need them to make a final two so that's what we can call them. Either one, I don't care. I'm partial to Menzo, but you know.
Yeah, I think Menzo is better, although Emphis is pretty good. Because it just sounds like you screwed up Memphis's name.
Yes, exactly. Which Memphis did call later, calls Tyler Taylor, I think.
He also says that Nicole Franzel is the only winner in the house.
I thought he said Ian was the only winner in the house.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, other way around. He said Ian was the only winner in the house, forgetting about Franzel's win.
Yeah, right. So Dad Memphis is so hilarious to me. It's just, especially when he's all bundled up with all his coats and his scarf.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
Oh, boy. So Memphis is going to talk to Keisha. He tells her that He is a vote to keep her. Don't worry about that. He thinks that she should lie low and not try to start a war by being visibly attached to Kacer and Janelle. What will probably happen is it'll backfire and, you know, they'll be like, oh, well, those four are a group. So we should take out Keisha so that we weaken that group, which I think is fair. Memphis is hoping that they can get Cody to backdoor someone. Now, you know, we have Kacer thinking that, like, this is all an orchestrated plan. We have Memphis thinking, like, that's he's just throwing people up. I don't think there's, like, a group yet. And they're both on, like, opposite ends, wrong and right at the same time. And I'm kind of actually feeling Memphis's strategy a little bit more. I think they can get Cody to backdoor someone. Memphis was hoping it could be Ian as the only winner in the house. But I'm not sure that's going to be as easy given the conversation Ian has with Cody a little bit later. So I'm thinking that Nicole Anthony is probably the best bet at this point if Memphis wants to do this. And I think he can. I think it's possible if the veto is won, especially by Keisha, but even if it's Kevin, if Cody has to replace you know, Kevin with somebody else, he's probably going to want that person to go home. It's very Big Brother 21 in that regard. So I think Memphis has a chance at this if they go for it.
I think Memphis is missing how solid certain relationships are, but Kacer is overestimating how solid those relationships are, right? Yeah. So I totally get it. It's they're missing the mark sort of in the opposite, but the same ways. So they need to come. Collaboration is key. Come on, Kacer. Don't they teach you that in business school? Right. I don't know. But if they can come together and really find a strategy that will work for them, because, yeah, I agree. I think that while the fan in me is saying, Memphis, make that group of four, go for it, rage a war, like this is war, whatever Kacer said the other night, that's not the smartest thing to do. It entertains me, but I don't think that it's the smartest thing to do. And I think that really setting it up to be those four versus others is not good, one, in the long run, but also even for this week, because like you said, I think that there's definitely a possibility that someone else could go up on the block and that person actually ends up going home. Now, who that person is up for debate. Actually, I think the Ian thing was kind of interesting because, yes, Ian and Cody have this conversation later, but Cody, in, you know, yesterday and even a little bit this morning was still kind of a little bit like, yeah, but Ian, though. And no one would bite because everyone else, oh, I love Ian. Ian's so sweet. And so Cody pulled back from Ian. But I think there was a little bit of, you know, he had some thoughts saying like, oh, maybe Ian could be a person to go up. So anyway, I think it's if more fluid. I think there's interesting strategies.
Yeah. If Memphis go, I think that's fair. I think if Memphis brings up Ian to Cody, like, I think Cody wants somebody to give him something. And yes, if Memphis pushes Ian, I think Cody, like, I think the reason Danny was able to get in so good with Cody, and let's flashback to day one, night one. Cody was like, I'm really skeptical of Danny. She's smart. She's sneaky. I he was talking about potentially going after her. Day three, she's like his closest ally almost. And that's because Danny is one of the only people to go to Cody and say, I want to form a group. Like, I want to be in the group. And Cody was like, yes, thank you. It's like somebody else is doing the thing. I don't want to do the thing. And so if Memphis goes up there and he's like, so Ian, I think Cody could absolutely be like, yes. Oh, yes, I agree. Yes, Memphis's idea. Great.
Right? Because the whole thing was like, Cody's like, well, I don't want to be the one to do it. I want to make Enzo start the Brigade 2.0. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I want someone else to do that work. And I don't know if Memphis knows that Cody likes him for one reason or another. And I think Memphis has way more agency with Cody than he knows or thinks. And so he really just try to make that move. And, you know, I know, like, again, a fan of me is like, go for it, do it. But Memphis is thinking long term as well, I do believe, right? He doesn't want to set up this immediate battle. He's got to think, this is a marathon, not a sprint.
I mean, I will also say, Memphis talking to Keisha saying, don't freak out, keep lying low, reminded me a lot of a certain conversation between Dan and Kara at the start of Big Brother 14, where Dan was like, don't make waves, keep flying low, we can try to work this out. Like, it's not exactly Memphis's neck on the line, and it behooves him to not have her pull him into a war right now as well. So I think there's a double purpose here.
Absolutely. There is a path from Memphis to the end that does not include Janelle, that does not include Kacer, and that does not include Keisha. And he could absolutely get away with this if he's thinking for himself unscathed.
Yeah. So there's going to be the third time the Aquadorkables comes up is up in the sort of Skyloft area. Ian is going to again sort of open up about being on the spectrum, because they talked about the backyard and how the hammock was going to be there. And he was like, I'm going to try and not do that as much. Like, people really got annoyed because the noise, and he was like Googling himself, and like the fourth result was Ian Terry autism. And he's like, that's like, I'm not ashamed of it, but like, that was not like a fun thing to see. He's like, it's not my identity. And he only very recently was able to really like accept that, like, it was true. And it's very sweet, sort of conversation. You can tell, like, he still sort of struggles to vocalize, and sort of like, be able to put into words how he feels about the whole thing. And it's still, I think, kind of fresh and, not fully sort of like, solidified into his being.
I think that must be incredibly challenging, especially to be struggling with something like that and be under the microscope that Big Brother puts on you. And he was, 21 when he played the first time? You know, you're still going through a lot of growth as a person, not only just outside of being someone who's on the spectrum, you know, like, just struggling with and dealing with a lot. And it was so heartwarming to see him talk to these other house guests. And from a game perspective, also, that does help him, because people can now empathize with him, can better understand what he's going through, and really just have a stronger bond with Ian. And so I think that it was heartwarming from being just a empathetic human, but also does help him in the game.
Mm-hmm. Then everyone played charades. They had some fun. Ian does later have a conversation with Franzel, and they solidify their duo. They call it the Million Club.
Yeah. So I had gone to bed at this point, and I was rewatching, catching up on feeds this morning, and I watched that bit, and I was like, did I hear that correctly? Did they say Millions Club? And it was like, oh, because you add it together and then it makes 1 million. Got it.
Yeah, because together they make 1 million, and also they're both, you know, gunning for their million.
The duality. Oh, poetic.
It's not a very inclusive alliance name. Hopefully no one figures it out.
Oh my gosh. You know how we talk about, don't name it like something six, something five, right? Because then you don't have the fluidity to like pull people in. The Millions Club. A little bit exclusive.
It's with the Millions Club. It's millions because, yeah, we...
of us.
So many people were allowed in the alliance. That's what it was.
We are the millions.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Franzel lets him know that her relationship with Cody is pretty good. Cody is later going to, because he was just told by Danny, talk to Ian and say, I'm not sure about Franzel. So that was a little bit of a disconnect. But Ian does talk to Cody about potentially working together, bringing in other strong competitors. Ian lets him know that he will not use the veto if he wins it. So don't worry about that. Overall, it's a pretty good conversation, but as you pointed out, it's definitely possible that Ian is still up on the board as a potential replacement nominee.
It's hard to tell if this is a conversation with long lasting impact, or if this is something that, oh, I'm just protecting my butt for this week, that if he gets picked for the POV, he won't use it. It could be as simple as that.
Yeah. Keisha talks to Kacer and says that Memphis wants to lie low, doesn't want to like necessarily win the veto or anything. Kacer's like, no, we need to shake him into this war. Kacer talks to Janelle, and Janelle also is like, we shouldn't win the veto. We should keep our threat level low. And Kacer's just like, where are my troops?
He's like, where are my loyal employees that will work day in and day out at my big brother startup? Because this is not how he's like, we got it. We like got unacceptable. You know, like we got to just get everybody. We have to wage this war. Okay. Calm down. Like, let's just take a breath, take a breather and reevaluate.
Yes. So. Then we get to, I've been referring to this all this whole time, this whole update. There's a conversation that happens between Day, Kevin, and Nicole. Now, they had, the three of them, been talking the previous day as well about working together. And it seems like the relationship is continuing to develop, that they do want to work together, that Day and Nicole probably are votes for Kevin to stay this week, which is very key. If the nominations do stay the same, Keisha is looking very dire right now. Unless she's able to flip Cody and his whole group, I don't know how she has the votes to stay, especially if she definitely doesn't have Nicole, Anthony, or Dave Vaughn, because those are two potential swing votes. So bad news for Keisha. But this conversation gets a little wild. So let's flashback a year ago. There's an alliance called Grateful. There's an underdog named Nicole. And she has some connections. She has some information. She starts working things out and realizes, oh my God, there's a big alliance in this house. I need to break this up. This is not good. What have I done? I've been laying back. I've been letting this happen. And we were like, yes, Nicole, go. She thinks that she's having this moment again. She's talking it through. She's like, I saw Memphis with Cody. I think they might have a final two deal. And, you know, Kacer and Janelle have been talking to me about these things. Kacer was telling me that he thought that Keisha was going to go up and that Kevin was going to go up. How did he know that? And he said that me and Ian might be potential replacement nominees. How does he know that unless he's in power? Janelle said the same thing. What are we? So is Janelle like running things? Like, who would Janelle be running things with? Like Tyler? Day's like, yeah, Tyler and Janelle. They're the masterminds. They're running. Tyler and Janelle are running things. We've seen Janelle and Kacer with Tyler and Cody a lot. So, oh man, this is bad. If they're running, are we like the only people on the outs right now? We need to do something about this. Nicole is incensed. And Kevin's like, well, Nicole, you might be able to get in with them. She's like, no, I don't want to be in with them. If that's what it is, I'd rather be with my friends. like screw them. Screw Tyler and Janelle for doing this to us.
This was so weird. It's like, am I hearing this right? Are you sure?
And Dave Vaughn is in this conversation actively contributing to it. Dave Vaughn, the person who is like known for her reads.
Okay, but here's the thing. I will say Day has had some spot on reads, okay, this season so far. So I'm just going to say that like putting them together in a combination was maybe not the best. but yeah, it was like, so wait, okay, hold on. Like, let me start working through their logic. I'm trying to understand. How are they thinking? How did they get here? Why on earth would Kacer and Janelle compete for safety if they're safe? Yes. To throw people off the scent? Right? No? Like, what? Why would they waste that power? That doesn't make any no kind of sense.
It doesn't. And Janelle was warning Nicole just last night about Cody, Tyler, and David. And, like, I'm hoping this was just, it was like at five, it was like at five in the morning. Like, they were just maybe they were just so tired. They were tired, drunk, and they were just out of their minds, and they're going to wake up today and be like, that made no sense. We were going wild last night.
I really hope so. It's like when you write a paper late at night and you reread it the next morning and you're just like, this makes absolutely no sense. Delete, start again, because that's what they should do. Delete, start again.
Oh, we sent some bad text to Janelle last night. Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Dude, I know you said don't text her, but I did. Like, no, stop this. Stop the insanity. It was baffling. But I, you know, this morning, Kevin is having to talk to the cameras in the bathroom saying some similar things. So you'll talk about that tomorrow. But man, it does not look good.
Yeah, it's wild. It's
that's a good way to describe it. It's wild. What is so baffling to me is like, OK, so let's say we have sides. OK, let's say we put Cody on one side, put Kaser on the other side. And then you have the middle, which then has somehow concocted something that is not even close to reality because it's pulling people from both sides and putting them together in power. I don't know what that looks like in actual gameplay if they're forced to make, like, do they put up Tyler and Janelle next to each other? Like, what if Nicole Anthony wins HOH, puts those two up and be like, I called it. I know y'all are running this. I'm putting you up. Boom, baby. And then that's, and they're like, what? Everybody's just baffled.
I guess it's pretty good for Cody's team, right? If Tyler goes up next to Janelle, then like they can keep Tyler pretty easily.
I think so. Yeah. And then Janelle goes. So poor little Nicole.
Yeah. I mean, look, I can't imagine this perception will last too long because
I hope not.
So off base. But it was so weird because like it's like this truly was like it was like season 15 when they figured out the moving company. It was like last season when they figured out Grateful, except it was completely fabricated and not in touch with reality in any way.
Oh yeah, no, the conviction through which they were speaking of I've cracked the code. Light bulb went off. I'm a genius. We figured this out. No.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that was a pretty basic layout of what was going on in the day. I didn't want to make this one 2 hours. So we were a little more, abbreviated than, you know, what was going on. And even yesterday there were things like there is every single conversation in these first few days of feeds are important. The relationships that are developing are so key. Like, you know, despite their wild predictions, this Nicole Anthony, Devon, Kevin sort of trio is definitely something. You know, Ian was definitely trying, like Kevin was trying to include Ian with Nicole Anthony. I think that he still can be a little bit involved there, but he doesn't express as much enthusiasm with this group as Nicole and Kevin do. So that's something to watch out for. Like the personal bonds just aren't quite there. Ian seems to be a lot more with Franzel at this point and potentially being dragged into this Cody group. So that's, you know, important to note. Franzel, after a bad second day, had a pretty good third day, getting a lot of information, solidifying her bond with Ian, getting Danny involved in things, and kind of including herself in the Nicole Anthony, Kevin, Adorkables thing. So that's what's going on there. This, of course, this group of four, Cody, Enzo, Danny, and Franzel, with additions of Tyler and David and potentially Memphis eventually, is something that's trying to form. And then you have, of course, the other side right now, which is Janelle, Kaser, Keisha, and they're trying to get Memphis to sign up. And then you have all those people in the middle. There is kind of a thing with like Christmas has a bunch of relationships. Bailey has a bunch of relationships. There is a kind of core between Bailey and Devon. So there's still a lot of different things going on. We'll talk about it all tonight on the first roundtable of the season. We'll talk about the state of the house and everything, but things are still very fluid, very all over the place. Things go in a ton of different directions from here.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that that is definitely the case, that things are super fluid. Things are going to change. And depending on how the veto goes and if Memphis is able to get his butt in gear, like, who knows what could happen? And I think that's what makes it so fascinating, is watching all of these relationships form and break and form and speculation happen, both correctly and incorrectly. And I mean, we are eating good. Like, this has been so fun to watch the feeds over these past few days, and I can't wait to see what the rest of the season has in store for us.
I think one of the things for me that having the feeds on so early is just like really solidifying again, and Ian talks about this, is just how dramatically luck is involved in this game, because relationships are forming so like, they're forming based on who happens to have like landed in the same room together at the same time. And then all of a sudden they're alone. And it's like, okay, now we're having a conversation. Now we've made a bond. Now we're going to make time to go see each other again. But then if they don't make time, if they don't like manage to talk to each other again, it kind of just disintegrates. And there's no relationship anymore because they didn't follow up. And it's just like all of these things, all of these very random factors are pushing certain people together, pushing certain people apart, hearing certain things and going different places. And it feels we're throwing a bunch of dice or something, and we're just waiting for the pieces to fall where they go, with like minimal amount of control of like, oh, trying to push a little bit over here and trying to push a little bit over here. It's like it's hungry, hungry hippos, and we're all just kind of like picking up any pieces that we can.
Puzzle pieces, dice, hungry, hungry hippos. I don't know what that board game looks like, although I do kind of want to play it. Do you get to yell Yahtzee at some point? Like if we get the lineup correct, I don't know, but completely agree. It's very fluid. It's very fascinating. And especially with returning players, because you also have added dynamics of pre-gaming, other pre-existing relationships. And that is just mixing it all together into some fantastic concoction.
Yes. All right. So that's what we have for you today. I'm sure there will be plenty to talk about later tonight and tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern, where we will update you on whatever happens today. So check it all out. Liana, what are you up to?
So first, you can follow me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. I am podcasting about RuPaul's Drag Race. That's over. We're talking about Canada's Drag Race, which has been an amazing season. I'm about to actually go hop off and record that now. And Mike Bloom and I are also doing the RHAP B&B, both for the Survivor rewatch. And we're going to start doing weekly Big Brother shows. We're not going to be doing one this week. We're going to start kick things off next week once we have a full week of content to talk about. But look, Big Brother is a silly game. It can be, although the strategy is what really draws me to it. The hilarity of Janelle walking around in a giant star costume is really what puts it over the top. And the B&B is the giant star costume of the RHAP universe. We are just silly and goofy. And so if you want to come play some games and have some fun, definitely check out the RHAP B&B.
David did have a good line to Janelle. He was like, man, I'm starstruck, and not just because of your costume.
Hey. Hey, that's that charm. That's that wit that's going to get him to the final two. Just you wait.
So you can, of course, find me on Twitter at ArmstrongTaren and on Twitch, twitch.tv/TarenArmstrong. Thank you so much for joining us. I'll see you next time.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.